Our scripture for this evening is Mark 4, beginning at verse 21. And through 25. Also, he said to them, "Is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." Then he said to them, "Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you, and to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, but whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him." May God bless the reading of his holy word. This will be our text for the message today. And first we're going to see who is the light of the world, and then the purpose of the light, and third, the awesome responsibility of those who have the light. And of course, the major theme of this text is, let your light shine, let your light shine. Now, many times in Scripture, we see Jesus teaching with the use of parables. We know that the parables are divided between the curious and the true seekers. Now, tonight we're going to consider this short parable of Jesus in verse 21 through 25 here. This one might be confusing to someone who didn't seek after Jesus' true meaning, or for someone who didn't have the Bible to be able to compare Scripture with Scripture. Here in verse 21, Jesus asks some rhetorical questions. He asks if a lamp is brought to be put under a basket or under a bed, or if it is supposed to be put on a lampstand. The obvious answer is it should be put on a lampstand where it can provide light for those who are in darkness. Now, this simple parable about light contains one of the most profound truths about light that we could imagine. Since Jesus has ascended into heaven, we cannot ask him to explain the parable to us in person as he did with the apostles, but Jesus has given us his completed word, and he has given all believers the Holy Spirit to lead them into all truth. So we can ask Jesus to guide us into the truth about this lesson. And as we compare Scripture with Scripture, we're going to see what Jesus is teaching in this parable. As we go to John 8:12, we see the words of Jesus concerning light. There he says, "Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, 'I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life.'" So then, Jesus himself is the lamp that is to be put on a lampstand. He is the light. But what is the biblical meaning of light as Jesus is using the word? In the Old Testament and New Testament, light is used in connection with the righteousness of God, joy, blessing, and life. This is in contrast to the darkness of sin, sorrow, cursing, and death. Now, this has to do with our life on earth, but ultimately to eternal life. Jesus is pointing to himself as the only way to God's perfect righteousness, and so the only way to eternal joy, blessing, and life eternal. He is the light of the world. Jesus did not hide the fact that he was the light. He let his light shine as brightly as possible. He defeated Satan, the prince of darkness. He healed people, performed miracles, cast out the demons of darkness, and raised the dead. He preached and taught people that they were lost in the darkness of their own sin, and that they should repent and believe in him alone as their Savior. They should see he is the light of the world and the only way to eternal life. Let's take a look at some of the many verses that point to Jesus as the light. We can go first to John 1, and I'll begin at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And also, in the Gospel of John, we usually think of John 3:16 as reaching out with the gospel, but I'll begin at John 3:16, and I'm going to continue through to verse 21. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. So then, just as 1 John 1:5 tells us that God is light and in him is no darkness at all, so also Jesus Christ is light and in him is no darkness at all. You know something? Jesus doesn't just point to himself as being the light of the world. He also points to the disciples and all believers being the light of the world. And we see this very clearly in Matthew 5. I'll begin at verse 14. Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Here we have our text repeated by Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount, and we can clearly see that although Jesus is the ultimate light, he's the ultimate light of the world, he says that we too, as believers, are the light of the world. But how can this be? How can we be the light of the world? Well, we can see how God the Father is light, and God the Son is light, and God the Holy Spirit is light, but how can believers be the light of the world? Well, who is it that convicted us of our sin and persuaded and enabled us to repent and believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord? Who is it that indwells us now, who caused us to be born again, sanctifying us now by enabling us to die more and more to sin and live unto righteousness? As Jesus said, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." And we should see that more and more in our lives. Yes, God the Holy Spirit dwelling within us makes us the light of the world. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20 makes it clear where it says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is God's." This brings us to our second major point, which is the purpose of the light. In verse 22 of our text, Jesus tells us that nothing is meant to be hidden, but all is meant to be revealed. And nothing is meant to be kept secret, but to be brought out into the light. And verse 23 tells us to listen carefully. We've already seen that Jesus did not hide the fact that he is the light of the world. Now we must ask ourselves if we are hiding the fact that we are the light of the world. As we look at Ephesians 5 in verses 8 through 13, to see that we shine as the lights of the world when we are obedient to God. Here we read, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." For the fruit of the Spirit, or light, is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. So then, as we live as righteous in Christ, in obedience to the word of God, and expose the works of darkness, we glorify God and show ourselves to be the light of the world. By your fruit you shall know them, by your works. But righteous living is not all that we are commanded to do. We are also commanded to go into all the world to teach others about Jesus Christ, so that by God's grace they may be brought out of darkness into God's marvelous light. Brothers and sisters, praise God that you are letting your light shine here today in worship. When you make the regular time in your life to worship God at a church that worships God in spirit and in truth, the world around you sees it. As we join our lights together in worship, we become like a great torch, giving all the glory to God in our salvation and in all things. We have been given the light by God to reflect it back to Him as we worship, honor, and praise Him. We also brighten each other's lights as we become an encouragement to each other in our unified worship. Now we must ask ourselves whether we are obeying Jesus and showing ourselves to be light in the world, in our own families, in our neighborhoods, at work, at school, or any place the Lord would have us be. Shining as the light of the world doesn't just mean to witness to people of their sin and their need for Jesus to save them. It does mean that, but it also means that we live lives of joyful obedience, not grudging obedience, joyful obedience to God's commands, and we are bearing the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and meekness and faithfulness and self-control. If we are honest with ourselves, I think we know that we could all be shining brighter as lights in this world. We need to pray to God for boldness to shine brighter for Him. And then we need to exercise our newly created wills to shine. Shine brighter. Now maybe there's some area in your life in which you need biblical counseling, or maybe you want to witness to someone and you're not sure how to go about it. You want to shine into their lives. Well, remember, you're not alone. Please come to the pastor or the elders, a Christian brother or sister that you look up to, that you respect. Our session is here to equip the saints for the ministry in this corner of the world right now. You have relationships with people in your life that they don't have, the pastor doesn't have, the session doesn't have. And they are here to help you reach those people. Ask them, would it be the best way to witness to this person? As you give more of the light to bless others that God has given you, He gives you even more light to also bless you. And now may God give us all the grace to not hide our lights under a basket, but to shine brighter and brighter for His glory in our corner of the world. If there's an unbeliever here tonight, God is reaching out to you. You're lost in the darkness of your sin. Jesus is the light of the world. This congregation is here to shine as lights. And they put me up in this pulpit, and they probably figured I'd be telling you about your darkness and about the light of the world. God is reaching out to you today. Repent of your sins. Trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, and you will be saved. May God have mercy on you and give you the grace to believe. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do praise you for how wonderful you are to us, our great salvation, for seeing the need to be here, to shine as lights, Lord, here in this world, in this corner of the world, to worship you in spirit and truth, to be lifted up by your word, to be strengthened. So thank you for the blessings that we've just experienced, Lord, and just being here to give you the praise and glory that's due unto you. And we pray that if anyone came in not really knowing you as Savior and Lord, have mercy upon them and save them. And bless us, Lord, that we'll be so filled with joy in our salvation that witnessing really wouldn't be a chore for us, that we would just share why we are so joyful. People ask us about the peace that we have, that we'll quickly tell them it's the peace that you give us, Lord Jesus, in our great salvation, and that knowing that our greatest problem is solved forever. And we pray that you'd come soon, Lord Jesus, and pray in your precious name. Amen.